Man, I just love it. I love worshiping like that and just telling God that he's a way maker and a miracle worker and a promise keeper. Man, it lifts my spirit. I hope it lifts your spirit as you're worshiping along with us today, that God is revealing who he is to you. And then to see, man, just how you guys are living out your faith, being the church all over the place, particularly through our care centers. I love especially where Tracy said, you know, I know what it feels like to struggle, and now here she is giving back. Man, she knows what it is to be on the struggle bus. You ever been on the struggle bus? The struggle bus is that place where, man, whatever you're doing, it's just not working. It's so frustrating, but nothing good is happening. I asked some of our staff this week, I said, hey, what's the first thing that comes to your mind whenever I say the struggle bus? And so one guy says, man, parenting. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Another person said, money. First thing that comes to my mind. First thing that comes to my mind, another person said, Southern Miss football. So maybe some of you Golden Eagles out there feel that pain, right? Then another person said, what comes to my mind on the struggle bus is Jeff Redding, who quite possibly could be the most obnoxious Ole Miss fan our staff has. Right now, he has the distinct privilege of being the campus pastor for an interim period at our Starkville campus. And so that's an amazing thing, right? And so he's probably going to be on the struggle bus for few weeks to go up there and lead in love. Just kidding. It's an awesome thing. But then I asked the staff, seriously, hey, what is it? Have you ever been on the struggle bus with your faith? And what is it that got you there? And then they begin to give some answers to that question. Hands went up all around the room. Yes, yes, yes. All of us have been on that bus. Sometimes we found ourselves on that bus whenever we needed an answer from God, and we were just struggling, man, just struggling to find out what it is that God was trying to say. Others said, you know, I find myself when God is silent and I can't sense God's presence. It just doesn't feel like he's there. I feel all along, man, that's a struggle for me. Another person said complacency in my faith or inconsistency, and I feel like I'm just failing all over the place and maybe God is mad at me. Another person said, you know, when I get bad news from a doctor, and then he said, and I've had plenty of bad news from the doctor. And he said, I know what I'm supposed to think, I know what I'm supposed to feel, and I know what I'm supposed to say, but he said, I just struggle. It's just hard to actually do the thing that I know I'm supposed to do, think, or feel. Come on, any of y'all on the struggle bus? You on the struggle bus right now? Maybe you feel like there's a struggle bus stop just right outside your house, and like 14 times a day, it comes by and you're tempted to jump on. We find ourselves on the struggle bus. Here's the deal. A walk of faith is not just one continuous long journey of good news and happy times. There are days and seasons where you find yourself struggling in faith. It's not just working for, it's not working for you. It's frustrating. You can't seem to get it right. Now, if you have a Bible today, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 15. Our man Abraham, we're studying his life. Abraham has a front row seat on the struggle bus. Genesis 15 verse 1 begins like this. It says, after these things. Now let me back up and give you a little bit of context, because after what things? He's talking about what happened in Genesis 13 and 14, where Mike introduced last week just the idea that Abraham and Lot, after their time in Egypt, come back. They've got so much stuff that it's too much stuff. And so they wind up with a family fight. And the family fight is over money and resources. There's not enough land for both of them, and so they have a family altercation and split. And even though Abraham has every right to say, dude, this is my stuff, and tell Lot to go get Lost, his nephew, he could do that, Abraham instead chooses the high road of faith. He chooses, in the midst of a family fight over money, who am I talking to? Rather than to flex, he chooses faith. And the result is Abraham and Lot are then separated. But I wonder if in the bigger picture, it's more than just a family fight where we're separating over money and stuff. I wonder if somehow Lot, his nephew, Abraham's nephew, hadn't become a security blanket of sorts. Work with me for just a second. The promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12 was that Abraham would become a great nation, but Abraham has no children, but at least Lot's a relative. And so I just wonder if maybe it was kind of his fallback plan that, man, if I don't have family, maybe Lot could inherit this promise. Maybe it is that Lot was representing protection for Abraham. They're living, remember, they left their homeland. They come to this strange place called Canaan. There's all kinds of ites living there, Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, all these people. And Lot and his family represented protection for Abraham. That's the way they waged war back in those days. Man, your family, your clan came together. Now, half of Abraham's protection, half his army's gone. He don't have any land yet. And so I wonder if somehow in this moment, there's this stripping away that God is doing in Abraham's life of all outside props, anything that would keep him from living completely by faith. Listen, Lot was not a fallback plan. Lot was a distraction from a life of complete faith. And I don't know who needs to hear that right now, but you may have some people in your life that they're not really helping you. They're not your fallback plan. They're not your security blanket. They might be a very distraction from the thing God has for you. So Abraham and Lot, they're separated. And if you read the story, if you read all of Genesis 13 and 14, and I encourage you to go read Genesis 13 and 14, you find that Abraham says to Lot, oh man, look, you just the land's before you, you pick. If you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left, whatever. Lot chose the best land, the well-watered valley land, the green pastures, and Sodom is there. If you know the story, you know that Lot chooses that selfishly. And with that land comes this place called Sodom, a very ungodly place. And it's not long before some kings rise up and overthrow Sodom, and Lot's taken away as a prisoner of war. And so here Abraham is now in this precarious place, this position of trying to go after a family member who's gotten themselves in drastic trouble. And yet as a family member, he feels obligated to help. And so he marshals his men quickly, comes up with a strategy to wage a surprise attack. He goes and overthrows the armies who had captured the people of Sodom. And he sets Lot free. And there's a reversal of fortune. All of a sudden, all this stuff is now, it's now rightfully Abraham's for what he's done. And at the end of Genesis 14, Abraham meets this mysterious figure called King Melchizedek. He's the king of Salem. Now, I just want to stop right there and say we're not unpacking all of it today, but go back and read it. Do your little study. He's a mysterious figure. We don't know who it is, but I think it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He's the king of Salem. Salem means peace. He's the king of righteousness, the king of peace. Jesus is that. And this King Melchizedek, he blesses God Most High and he blesses Abraham. That's exactly what Jesus does. He blesses God our Father and he blesses us. Abraham gives him a tithe of everything. And then the king of Salem, the king of Sodom says to Abraham, look, all the spoils, dude, you can have. And Abraham says, I'm not taking anything. I promised God that if he would give me victory, I wouldn't take anything from you because I don't want you to ever say or think that you made me wealthy. Everything I am comes from God. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but listen, maybe you need to hear that word today. Don't ever align yourself with people who are ungodly to make a living. It just doesn't end well. Your life is in God's hands. You want everything about your life to point to the goodness and the grace of God. So here he is, having just won this war, having access to all this stuff and turning it down. We would say he left a lot of money on the table. After these things, Abraham gets a front row seat on the struggle bus. Doubt and fear begin to creep in and take over his life, and it's a struggle. And so let's look at this scripture today and see how you can, if you're on the struggle bus right now, how God may call you out of that, how he is calling you out. How do you get off the struggle bus when your faith is struggling? Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 again. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram, I'm a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? What reward can you give me? He's saying, what will you give me since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, since you have given me, not given me an offspring to me, one born in my house is to be my heir. He's saying, God, look, I've got all this stuff. I don't care. I want a son. I want an heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man, Eliezer, will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. He took him outside. God took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens, count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then Abraham believed in the Lord and he reckoned it. He counted it to him as righteousness. How do you get off the struggle bus? Here's the first step. First step is acknowledge your doubts and your fears to God. That's the first thing you do. Acknowledge your doubts and your fears. Abraham is battling fear. How do we know? Because the first thing God says is fear not. At the close of the last chapter, Abraham was riding high, man. He's a winning warrior, right? He's got all this stuff. He's become the man. And yet, like the swinging of a pendulum, like day turns into night, man, all of a sudden, it's not that way anymore. His high is now a low. His worship is now fear and worry. He's scared. Why? What's he scared of? I can think of several things he might be afraid of. The way he beat the invading kings that had taken over Sodom and Lot, he beat them because he had a surprise attack when they were probably all drunk and hung over because they were celebrating. And so he surprised them, he defeated them, and now they've got time to regroup and maybe come after him, and that scares him. Maybe he feels inadequate with his new success. Abraham is now the man, and maybe you want to be the man, but listen, along with that title of being the man comes bigger expectations, and maybe he's thinking, I can't be that person. I think envy and jealousy of the nations around him. I mean, they were tolerating Abraham for a season, but now if he's going to kind of rise up like this, maybe they need to put him down. Maybe that's why he's fearful. He's a target now. Or maybe he's worried that he should have taken the spoils of war. Man, he left so much money on the table and Lot's gone now. Man, maybe that's what's got him scared. But God says to him, do not fear. I've heard that that's one of the most common commands in the Bible. Do not fear. I don't know. I hadn't counted it to know if it's exactly this, but I've heard 366 times in the Bible it says, don't fear. Don't fear. That would be one for every day of the year, including this year, including leap year. God says, don't fear. Have y'all ever heard this statement? Fear is false evidence appearing real. Y'all ever seen that? It's false evidence appearing real. A lot of spiritual people tell you, don't fear anything, man. It's just false evidence appearing real. You don't have anything to fear at all. It's just false evidence appearing real. But let me tell you something. COVID's real. Cancer's real. Those papers you got served, that's real. That lawsuit, the custody battle for your kids, that's very real. Layoffs and breakups, that's very real. Hey, look, that ain't false evidence appearing real. That's real evidence appearing real. And if you can do the spelling, that means rear. And I don't want to lose mine. That causes us fear. That's real stuff. What are you afraid of? What's got you scared? What's got you sitting on the struggle bus? Now, the Bible clearly tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, we quote this, and this is true, you ought to claim this, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and discipline. Listen, fear is real, it's just not from God. And it's not where he wants you to sit. It's not where he wants you to stay. It's real. Abraham's fearful. And then Abraham is battling with doubt. Genesis 12, God had promised Abraham that he would be this great nation. But at this point in his life, many years later, Abraham just can't see it happening. It's been a long time since God made that promise, and he still has no child. He's questioning if God could really do it. Would God really do it? Now, God re-upped the promise in Genesis 13, at the end of Genesis 13, but it was really kind of cryptic. It wasn't, hey, you'll be a great nation. He said, hey, man, you're going to have an heir, your seed. But I know Abraham's probably, you know, rolling in his mind and parsing the words. Y'all ever do that? You ever parse the words? Like, yeah, but what did she really mean when she said that? What did he really mean when he said that, right? You parse those things out. You play it out. Maybe they meant this. Maybe they meant that. He's doing that. And so doubt begins to grow in his mind. What did God really mean? And it doesn't help that Abraham's getting older. And you know that even age can cause you to doubt if God can use you or come through on his promises. Do you feel Abraham's pain at all in that? I mean, maybe that's how you got on the struggle bus yourself. What is it that's got you doubting? Why are you doubting and questioning the promise of God, the character of God, the ability of God? What is it that God said, hey, this is what I want to do, and yet you haven't seen it happen yet, and you're beginning to doubt if God even can do it? Is there something that you are beginning to believe is impossible, and now you're being drowned in discouragement because you think there's just no way, and you've got your seatbelt on the struggle bus? Can I just say to you that growing faith never pretends that it doesn't struggle? Growing faith doesn't pretend that it never has a struggle. Growing faith that becomes powerful faith acknowledges that fears and doubts sometimes creep in. Too often we think we can't say that. That appears unspiritual. That's bull. Look, the reality is we all struggle. All of us, all of us have seasons of struggle. We have times when our faith is fighting against our flesh and our circumstances, what we see and what we feel. Man, just as I've been contemplating this word and thinking about some people that I know and love and care about, man, I'm thinking about a guy who recently graduated from college, and his whole life he's had his dream kind of on this one particular occupation, but he got a medical diagnosis that didn't just shut the door, it slammed that door shut. He'll never do that because of a medical condition that he has. And then his other dreams and plans about working and schooling and all those things, those doors are being slammed in his face too. And I know on the inside, he's got to at least say, God, what the heck? And I wonder if he's got a seat on the struggle bus. Thinking about a teenage girl, she's battling with some health issues. She cheers a lot, very active, but she got hurt in the midst of all that, and now she's facing doctor's appointments, and her back's bad, and she's got to wear a brace, and everything that she loves and values, cheering and other things, it's possible she's going to miss it all for her senior year. She reached out to me and just said, you know what, I find myself doubting God. I feel like I get so close to recovering and then something else happens. It's almost like the harder I work, the more and more I get set back. It never seems to go away. Right now, I don't really know what to think. I'm known as the happy friend. I'm always smiling, and lately I just haven't been myself. I can't stay positive. I feel like I'm drowning in fear of the unknown. I've shut out all my friends and my teachers. I enjoy them, but lately I have just not been about it. She's on the bus. She's struggling. Look, my family jumped on that bus a couple of weeks ago. My mom was in for what we would call a routine procedure, right? A routine surgery, but it's never routine. The doctor comes out and says, look, I saw something while I was in there that I did not like, and a biopsy did. And so our family all of a sudden jumped on the struggle bus. And look, we are people of faith, right? My mama's got great faith, and she's very, you know, quick to say, you know, heads I win, tails I win. I'm going to heaven no matter what, right? But all of a sudden, whenever you're waiting on the pathology, fear comes. Man, we had a seat on the bus for a few weeks, and I thank God she got a good report, and things are looking positive. But I'm just telling you, that was real. And I want to say to you, God knows your fears. He understands your doubts. Jesus was tempted in all ways just like you are. There were times when Jesus himself, while he lived on this earth, said to the Father, why? There were times whenever he cried out and said, is there any other way? Please, is there any other way? And yet to him and to you, God the Father gives this beautiful invitation from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says this, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Stop acting like it's all on you. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. God is the solution to this situation. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you at just the right time. Listen, God always does the right thing at the right time. Now, here's how you humble yourself under God. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That prepositional phrase right there, or that phrase, casting all your anxiety on him, is the way that you humble yourself. God loves it. It's an invitation for you to cast all your fear, all your doubt to God, knowing that he cares for you. It's the first step off the bus. The first step off the bus is simply to acknowledge God. I got some stuff going on here. And that's what I love about Abraham. He battles with fear and doubt, but when given the chance, he just owned it right there in front of God. He didn't pretend like he was all good. He just poured out his heart, his hurt, and his questions to God. And God says, I see you. Here's step two in getting off the struggle bus. It is to listen for God's voice. Look back at verse 1 again, Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward will be very great. You know what I love about that verse? What I love about that verse, a lot of things, but one of the first things I love is that God initiated the conversation. Oh man, I know what it feels like to feel condemned whenever you're battling with doubt and fear. And I just love it that God doesn't condemn you where you are right now. He doesn't condemn you in the struggle. In your journey of faith, he actually comes to Abraham. He initiates the conversation. He sees, he knows, he comes. And can I just say to you, he sees you right now. He knows right now. And maybe it is that he's got you tuned in right now, worshiping on this particular day so that you would hear God say, I see you. And the word of the Lord comes to him. Abraham needed encouragement, and so God sends the encouragement to him. He says, Abraham, I am your shield. Your shield is a piece of armor that a warrior would have in war to protect him from any kind of arrows or attacks against the enemy. It's a weapon or a covering. It's a protective thing in a fight. God declares to Abraham, I'm that for you, Abraham. I'm your defense. I'm going to defend your life. I'm the one who, anytime anybody or anything comes against you, it ain't getting to you till it comes through me. I'm your shield. Listen to me. That's who God is. He's revealing his nature to Abraham. He's revealing his nature to you. I am your shield. That's what God is saying. God is your shield in this moment. God is my shield in this moment. Nothing can get to you or me without going through God first. That's the blessing of being in Christ. That's a promise throughout the scripture. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Psalm 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Romans 8, 31. What should we say about all these things then? Man, if God is for us, who can be against us? We got the man on our side. 1 John 4, 4. You are from God, little children. And you have overcome them. The victory is already ours. Why? Because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. There's no spiritual force. There's no spiritual person or darkness that can get to you. Greater is the one who is in you. You have a shield. So Abraham, why are you afraid? God's with you. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm going to defend you. And that's God's promise to you. And Abraham, your reward is going to be very, very great. The word reward in Hebrew means your wages. It's your payment. It's what you get when you get the job done. When you're faithful to do what you've been asked to do, you get compensated for that. And I would imagine that somehow Abraham in his struggle, on the struggle bus, is thinking, God, I gave up all that for you. And God, I've been walking out here and it's just not happening yet. And he's wondering, God, is this even worth it? Is the reward worth the risk? Is the gain worth the pain? You ever wondered that? And I love it, I love it, I love it, because God in this moment is saying to this man, bro, I got you. You ain't even ready for what I'm gonna do. But I wanna reassure you that the risk, the reward is worth it. The gain that you're gonna experience, Abraham, is worth it. And he's saying that right now, I think, to you. Hold on, child. Hold on, listen for God's voice to reveal who he is and what he does. That's what he's revealing to Abraham in this moment. He's revealing who he is and what he's done. God honors. God says, I'm going to honor you, Abraham. You're honoring me by walking in faith, and I'm going to honor you. Bro, you ain't even ready. And can I just say to you, the Bible promises you and me in Ephesians 3:20 that God can blow us up too. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's God's promise to you, that God can do it, but God wants you to know it comes straight from him. To him be the glory forever and ever. You know, I love it that God doesn't scold Abraham. He doesn't say, you idiot, you weak, wimp, faith person. No, he comes to him and gently, patiently just says, Abraham, I get it, man. I know where you're at, but listen, look at me. I'm your shield. And then he reassures him, trust my promise. It's going to be very great. I'm going to bless you. Now, if you're in this same spot and you're on the bus right now, God's not scolding you. That's what I pray that you find, because there's so much condemnation that we feel from ourselves and sometimes, honestly, from religious people. They well-meaning say, come on, false evidence appearing real. Come on, what are you worried about? Have faith. And it just doesn't work like that, does it? Sometimes, man, the struggle is so strong, and yet God does not condemn you. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He's praying for you. The Spirit doesn't condemn you. He's actually your comforter. And he's wanting to whisper into your ear right now, just like God whispers to Abraham, listen, I know you're doubting, bro, but I want you to walk out here and look at all these stars. Dude, I'm going to bless you like that. That's going to be the way your kids are. And I think that even right now, in this moment, right where you are, God wants to just whisper into your ear, trust me. Trust me. Will you listen? Will you choose right now to listen to God? The Bible tells us this in Psalm 46:10. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Cease striving. Some verses say, Be still. Stop gripping, dude. Stop trying to grind and get it done. No, cease striving. Chill. Cease striving and know, trust, believe that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That verse says if you will slow down, if you'll just stop and wait and listen and be reminded of who he is, God will build your faith and help you get off this bus. A couple of months ago, we talked about emotional health, remember? About emotional health, and we talked about that to a large degree, your peace and your health spiritually and emotionally depends upon you establishing a rhythm of Sabbath and stillness in your life, beginning to practice solitude and silence. Listen, that wasn't a sermon, dude. Come on, that was an invitation to life. And so maybe, again, God's repeating it today. Be still. Learn this rhythm of Sabbath and stillness, of silence and solitude. Be still and let God speak into your life. I love it because in this scripture, the word of the Lord comes to Abraham two times, verse 1 and again in verse 4. Now, you got to remember, there was no Bible back then. God is leading Abraham through visions and through promptings. Sometimes you probably say, man, I wish God would just write it down for me. He has, dog, he has. It's right there. He has written down for you exactly what he wants you to know. And so I want to encourage you, would you, if you're on the struggle bus, would you be still, unplug from everything else you've got going on, and read the Bible or listen to somebody preach the word of God to you. Listen to worship songs rooted in the word of God, and see if God won't reveal to you his character, that he's loving and he's kind and he's faithful, he's just and he's powerful. See if God won't begin to reveal to you his promises, that he honors you when you honor him, that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he makes all things beautiful in the right time. And God will reveal his plan for you to get off the struggle bus. My son sent my family a text message Monday night. It was after 9 o'clock, so I was already asleep. But he sent our whole family this text message. He's been struggling about it. He's a high school senior. He's trying to figure out where he wants to go to college, and he's got several options out there we're trying to explore. And one of the options is Liberty University in Virginia. It's a long way away from home. That's a downside, right? But it's a really, really good school. Got some things going for it. So he had gone to tour it. He's praying. He's trying to figure out, God, where do you want me to go to school? And on Monday, he's reading in the L3, Psalm 119, verse 45. This is what it says. And I will walk at liberty, for I will seek your precepts. Now, come on. Anybody here freaking out about that right now? He's trying to figure out where to go to school. Liberty's an option. It says, I will walk at liberty. He underlines it. Now, look, come on. Isn't that just like God? Man, come on. That may be a coincidence. I don't know. Maybe that's just God revealing it. What if he had been reading out of the wrong translation and it said freedom or something else? I don't know, but I know that showed up in my son's room this past Monday night. Now, whether that's from God or not, we'll decide. Okay, we don't know. It's kind of taking it out of context. He's talking about freedom. He's not talking about the university. But y'all feel me? But here's what I love. Here's what you can't argue with. Here's what makes me so happy is that my son somehow believes that God will direct the steps of his life through the word. That if he'll be still and listen and put himself in the presence of the word of God, the God of the word will reveal himself and his ways. And you know what? That's a promise from God straight to you right now. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust, believe in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways and everything you do. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Be still and know. Listen. Acknowledge your fears and doubts. Listen for God's voice. Here's the third step to get off this bus. Believe God's promise. What God speaks to you in these moments, believe it. Genesis 15, 6. Then he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. God reckoned it to him as righteousness when he believed. This is the first time, believe it or not, 15 chapters into the Bible, this is the first time the word believe appears. Is that not crazy? 15 chapters in, and for the first time, the word believe appears. The word in Hebrew is our word, amen. That Abraham amened God, so be it. If that's what you say, God, I trust it. Let it be, let it be. It means that he's saying, that's the truth. And I'm choosing to accept it. At the root of this word is the idea of certainty. He's believing and he's amening. Watch this. He's amening God. Abraham believed in the Lord. He's amening God, his character, his promises, his plan. That's what we learned a few weeks ago about this journey of faith, right? When we started, what does it mean to have faith? What is Christian faith? Christian faith is confidence and trust in God, his person, his plan, and his promises. That's what we said. What's Abraham doing? He's now expressing confidence and trust in God, in his person, his plan, and his promises. Hebrews 11:1 says this. This is the Christian way of saying it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance, conviction. I hadn't seen it yet, but it's coming. Conviction. I don't care what it looks like. God said it, and that's that. Come on, y'all ever said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Let me clarify something for you. When God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So come on, man, believe it. Take God at his word. That's what Abraham's doing. He's been on the struggle bus with fear and doubt, and God comes to him and reassures him about his character and his promise. Man, I'm your shield. I got you, boy. Your reward is going to be great. You're not even ready for what I'm about to do. So Abraham, watch this. He chose to amen God. Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice in moments of your life to say, you know what, I know that what this looks like, but I'm choosing instead to believe in the one who's promised me, who's with me. That is an intentional choice, an assurance and a conviction that even though he had not and could not see it yet, God was coming through. And because he believed God, God said, that's righteousness. You're now righteous. And Abraham was off the stinking bus. He's off the bus. Abraham's now at that place of faith where God wanted him to be. No outside props, not worrying about anything else, believing God. His faith is now lifted in the character and promise of God. Generations later, the Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham's life a lot because Abraham's considered the father of our faith. And in the book of Romans, Paul wrote this about Abraham's life. Okay, it's a long passage. We're going to read like 6 or 7 verses. Okay, this is what it says in Romans chapter 4. It says, for this reason, it is by faith, right? And he's talking about our spiritual life, our spiritual vitality. It's by faith in order that it may be according with grace. That it's God's doing. It's not us white knuckling. It's not our doing. It's God. We're trusting God. So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it's written, a father of many nations I have made you, right? That's Genesis 12. In the presence of him whom he believed, talking about Abraham, he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not even exist. Can I just stop right there and say, that's the kind of faith that Abraham grew to have, that God could raise the dead, and if it don't even exist, God could make it exist. Assurance and conviction that with God, nothing is impossible. So he became a father of a faith journey for you and for me. In hope against hope, it wasn't always easy. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations. Please check this. The indication is God wanted to do it, but had Abraham not believed, it wouldn't have happened. Faith is believing it so before it's so, so it can be so. God's calling you to faith so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which he had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. I'm a mess now, as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Abraham's like, man, it ain't happening with me. Then he looked at the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's 90 and never had a baby. Yet with respect to the promise of God, the Bible says he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured. That's what faith is, right? Assurance and conviction. Fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Do you see? It, that what Abraham learned to do was not trust his feelings and what he could see, but to trust that God, you who created everything, you can do it. You can do it. God was the one calling Abraham to believe this promise, and Abraham said, amen. So be it, God. And I'm saying to you, you may be fearful and doubting right now. And I don't know what it is that your eyes are looking at and your mind is saying to you, bro, there ain't no way. God may have even given you a promise, and yet doubt has crept in. And so I want to ask you, are you going to believe what your eyes can see in the flesh? Or will you choose today to believe the one who raises the dead and calls into being things that don't even exist yet? Come on, let your faith rise right now. If God said, let there be light, and there's light. If God said, let there be a greater light for the day and a lesser light for the night, and it was so. If God said, let there be waters, and it was so. If God said, let there be animals, and it was so. If God said, let me create a man, and it was so. If God can do that, would you just let your faith grow to believe that whatever you're up against, God can do? He can. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know what it all looks like. But God can. God can. At just the right time and just the right way, He can. Even if you don't have a promise to hold on to anchor in, would you just anchor, amen, the character of God that you're growing to trust? God, you're going to have to grow me, but I trust in you right now. Nothing is impossible with you. And man, God wants to get you off that struggle bus when you trust Him. You know, the application of this idea of faith, probably the most important promise that you could amen that Paul was talking about in Romans 4, is this impossibility. In Romans 4, Paul is offering this as a proposition to you of faith to believe or not, that Jesus Christ was God among us, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life of perfection, and that He died a sacrificial death to pay for your sins and for mine because we were messed up and wrecked by the law. You can't keep the law. You're not good enough. And after He died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, on the third day He returns the tomb to its rightful owner. He walks out of death fully alive. 50 days later, He ascends into heaven, and now He pours out His very presence, His very essence, His Holy Spirit into your heart and mine to make us spiritually alive, makes you then His child when you confess your sins and you say, I believe. I'm amening that that was done for me and for your glory, God. I'm amening that. God says, if you believe that in faith, you too are declared righteous, not because of anything you've done, but because of everything that Jesus has done for you by faith. No fear, no doubt, no condemnation, trusting in God who called into being what was not your spiritual life, who raised Jesus from the dead. And He offers you life. Believe that. And God declares you righteous. And now, in the midst of all that is real around you, COVID or cancer or lawsuits or divorce or a custody battle, your disappointments, your doubts, your setbacks, all of that. But God says, the righteous now live by faith. Amening God in the midst of all that stuff. Faith now marks you and me as people of God. This is what makes you different from your neighbor. This is what makes you different from all the other kids in your class. This is what makes you different from all the other people at work. That you and I don't put our hope in chariots and horses and what we see and all our resources. Our hope is in God. And every day we live our lives amening God, who He is, what He said, and what He's promised to do. That's the idea. That's what God's calling you to in this journey of faith. He's calling you to a deeper walk with Him, even right now in this moment. To live by faith with a conviction and assurance that, man, God is real and He is with me and I'm walking in His plan. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. We quote that scripture a lot. And he's quoting it actually in the context in Galatians 2 of a lot of social strife and racial division. Just to be real honest with you, him and Peter just had a falling out because Peter was being racist. And yet Paul calls him out and said, man, that's not the way. And then he says, this is the way you ought to live your life. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Not about me anymore. That's what he's saying. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I do now live in the flesh, I actually live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me, that every day I live my life on faith, believing the God that I haven't seen yet fully, but believing that He's with me, that His character is true, that His promises are coming. So would you live by faith right now, even while you've been struggling on that struggle bus? That if God's been delayed like he was delayed with Abraham and fear and doubt have been creeping in, would you please hear me say today, God's delays are not his cancellations. That his schedule doesn't always coincide with your wish list and your to-do list and your dreams, but please hear me on this. God's faithfulness and his timing are perfect. And you can take that to the bank. His faithfulness and his timing are perfect. Hold on. Don't quit. Don't get a permanent seat on that bus. You take it to God and you listen to what he's saying and you amen his promises and you walk in freedom of faith. Nothing is impossible with our God. All of his promises came true to Abraham. We're going to see it in the coming weeks. Everything God promised came to pass. And I'm saying to you, everything God has promised to you in Jesus Christ, those promises are yes and amen. Are you ready to get off the bus? Come on, I am. So let's do it right now. The bus is stopping. Let's get off by praying this prayer to God. Would you just join me right where you are right now? Come on, what we learned is whenever you know you're on the struggle bus, just own it. Would you just own it? Don't worry about what you look like and what other people are trying to tell you and all those other things. Could you just honestly say to God, God, I'm on the struggle bus of faith and doubt and fear are creeping in, and just speak to God right now. Those things that are causing you fear and doubt, tell him what they are. He already knows. But would you acknowledge those real things that are causing fear and doubt? And would you lay them down at his feet? Just bring it right into his presence. He knows. Would you ask God to speak into your heart right now, to speak to you. Say, Holy Spirit, speak into me and show me, God, who you are and what your promises are to me. Come on, invite him. Be still right now and know he's God. He's got it. He's your shield. Your reward is going to be worth it. Praying for you right now. I'm praying for you right now that the Spirit of God would speak clearly to you. Listen. And whatever God says to you right now or in the days ahead as you put yourself in a position to hear from God in his word, would you go ahead and say to God, I want to amen you. Lord, I want to amen you. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you're working. God, I'm amening you. All your promises are yes and amen. God, I'm saying I believe it. Help me in my unbelief. God, give me assurance and conviction. God, build my faith. Come on, if you today are stepping off that bus and stepping into faith, maybe for the first time, and putting your faith, amening what Jesus has done for you, and you want to have a Christian walk with him, in just a minute, would you just text the word Jesus to 57555? You can interact with some of the folks right now on the chat who will be glad to help you. Or maybe you're saying, man, I just need somebody to pray with me about what's going on. I just need some encouragement. Hey, would you text the word pray to that same number, 57555? Or would you just reach out right now and ask somebody on the chat to pray with you? Our ministers would love to help you. Listen, God's getting you off that bus today. You're going to walk in a brand new freedom. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to end our time today with a song that just says, God, all your promises are yes and amen. Something happens when you praise. Don't jump offline. Listen, you listen to this song. You worship with this song. When you praise, power's coming. So would you just let your amen be heard today by your voice in the spirit realm, in the throne room of God. Yes and amen. Father, we love you. I thank you that you don't give up. You don't quit. There's no condemnation for us right now in this moment. God, there is love and grace. Your spirit is strengthening our faith walk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I pray, God, the next time the struggle bus comes by, we'll just let it keep going, God, because we're walking in faith, fully assured that what we hope for is coming to pass. Conviction that even though we don't see it, you're working. Yes and amen. That's our promise. In Jesus' name.